sir, and this time, what is your name before we get started, sir?
Willie James Solomon, Jr.
Okay, if you just hold on for just a moment, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse will be conducting your hearing, so just hold on, Mr. Solomon, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And sorry for the delay. The previous person didn't realize there was still more to his hearing, so if you just make sure you stay on the line with us, we'll let you know when we're done. Could you start by just restate your full name and your ADC number for the record?
ADC number is 034478.
My
name is Willie James Solomon, Jr.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'm appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge hearing today. And you became eligible for these on July 25th, 2006. I'd like to introduce the board to you, sir, that the members that are conducting your hearing. If you look to your right, so down at the end all by himself, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. So I'll start with a summary, Mr. Solomon, and I may ask you periodically if I have the facts correct as you understand them. So Mr. Solomon is, are you 62 now, sir? 62?
Yeah.
Okay, he's 62 years old, and he is serving a 25 to life for the crime of burglary, and this occurred on September 23rd of 1976. And it looks like you were 19 years old when it happened, sir?
Yes, I was.
You were 19? Okay. And he was convicted by a jury trial on June 3rd, 75, and sentenced on July 2nd, 75. Now, that sounds unusual because the crime didn't occur till 76, but that is what I had on my notes. So when were you sentenced? When did you go to court? What year?
I think it's 76.
76, yeah. And probably was just a typo on what I was looking at. That's just unusual. It was a prior charge of rape that was vacated because the evidence had been destroyed. And that may be where those other dates come from, the 75 dates. Do you remember anything about that, sir?
It's so long ago,
Understood. Okay. Mr. Solomon also has an attempted second-degree burglary charge or sentence of 2.5 years, which is expired. It looks like Mr. Solomon's criminal history dates back to approximately 1974. He's got some assault charges, several burglaries, a DUI, a petty theft, another assault, indecent acts, possession of marijuana, possession of stolen property, and armed robbery. And he has a pretty lengthy juvenile record as well. In prison, in his entire sentence, he's got 14 majors. Looks like his last discipline was way back in 2010. In July 29th of 2010, Mr. Solomon, you had a ticket for theft. Do you remember what that was about?
We got in a confrontation. It was, that I could remember, they went off on mine and somebody else, and I told them, that's when I went off and told them, don't take it out on me. If you got something against me, you come at me, for me, and nobody else,
Okay. It was a theft, and I just wondered what it was about. What was the property?
You said it was a theft?
It was a theft, according to the Ames record. Okay, well...
I just remember, going off back on him and let him know, deal with me accordingly. Don't put me in somebody else's mess.
Right. Okay, well, sometimes we get the we get a little written description of the charge and what happened, but maybe that one was so long ago that they just didn't give it to us. So it looks like Mr. Solomon has been before the board several times, more than 20 times before the board. And back in 2012, he was actually granted parole, general parole, and that was revoked in 2017. So you were out for 5 years, were you, sir?
Yes, I was.
And it looks like you were revoked around, there was some kind of drug sales activity, or what happened?
Well, I let two youngsters in my apartment, and slung dope all around the apartment, but they were doing a raid in the apartment complex. I know where I was staying at was a hot block, and I got caught up in everything, you know, and here I come. I went to the commute board to try to get the license off and a number, and, you know, finish my time in prison so I could get away from Arizona, period. Mm-hmm. You know, or go to the outskirts of the country, mm-hmm. where I could survive, because getting around family members and going to crazy neighborhoods that I didn't understand at the time, you know, would bring a man back to prison, you know. And I went to get to know some of my family members because I hadn't seen them in so long, and one thing I did was try to write, and when they started moving and relocating everywhere, I had no knowledge where they was at. So I was out mostly looking, you know, strange place out there, but I could manage. After 5 years, I got a job, got on Social Security, and mm-hmm. I started helping, going down to the shelters, helping them feed people and stuff. You know, I started getting off a lot of stuff. I was working in another halfway house where I was kind of like security and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. all the male figures had to go out on patrol or whatever, you know, see other inmates that's on parole and probation. I was the only person there, so I went on ahead and, you know, had to make sure they would shower and eat and kick them back out the door.
Okay.
And I started doing some good stuff in my life, which surprised me.
So how did you get involved in this, with these people that were doing the drugs? How'd you get involved with them?
Well, you call it befriending. Mm-hmm. This young lady, because a lot of people say they're a good person and this and that. I said, okay. And, you know, they gave me the EpiPen, my life gas, you know, mm-hmm. you know, because they were staying there. Mm-hmm. I never stayed there for like 2 or 3 weeks. My whole hair broke loose. And
yeah.
Did your
parole officer know that you were letting people stay in your apartment?
He's over here now. You know, he said as long as they stay clean and stuff, and
okay.
See, I have no problem with it. But
right, but they didn't stay clean. That's the problem. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so. Go ahead.
I said, me being locked up as long as I did, and I got a kind heart, which was one of my friends, which I said, you're just too kind to a lot of people, and you need to stop, you know. And
to stop being so kind, okay.
Yeah, when you let people in your house like that.
Yeah, okay.
What you got to be careful of what you get.
Okay. All right. Mr. Solomon, it looks like you've done some programming. Did you complete your GED or just work on it?
No, I've been working in my dormitory.
Okay.
I got my 8th grade literature, and right now I got a class almost done that I do with the health unit, you know, but all different types of diseases and
right.
Like that.
Okay. Because it shows you've taken some classes. You took a re-entry class, a pre-release, you know, to help you make a transition back to the community. But it also is showing that you have done some work toward your GED, but I'm not sure about that. I just was wondering if you finished that or if you just had taken part of it. It's like in five sections, I think.
Yeah, I took some of it, and they said, I don't know how they're doing it now, but back then, if you had a license, a lot of time, they kicked you out of the school, and people with less time, pack the food out of the yard, they put them in glass.
Okay, understood.
I had no choice but to go back to work.
So, sir, do you have family? Do you have family in Arizona or outside of Arizona?
Well, I thought I did. Yeah, I'd rather go to Mexico, I'm ready for roll. I'd rather go for every hour somewhere and start out on my own and do me. Because it seems like family is not around. I can't get fully contact with them,
Okay.
I put my hand out there by getting cut off, so I really,
So what family do you have? Do you have children?
No, I don't.
No children?
I have three nieces, a nephew, and one sister.
Oh, okay. And are they here in Phoenix or scattered around?
They're in Phoenix.
They're in Phoenix. So you would go to live in a halfway house?
I'd really go live in a halfway house. Start over.
Okay. And what kind of work do you do, sir?
I do most anything. Well, I was working this day labor. I was cutting grass and cutting trees and doing the pools and stuff like that.
Okay. Is that what you were doing when you were out before?
Yes, I was.
For the 5 years. Okay. All right, sir. All right, Mr. Solomon, we haven't really talked about the crime itself. Why don't you tell us what happened the day that this burglary happened?
Well, I was called up, drunk, pissed off, and my father had passed away, and they come, friend of mine came and got me, and said, I want to go do a job. I said, yeah, I don't care, And we went and broke off in the house and all hell broke loose. And they took off and I was there by myself. They ended up catching them. And I was already in jail. But they were juveniles. I couldn't find out they were juveniles, so there's not much they could do to them. But and they told me it was my idea and all this here. And I don't know.
So you got a life sentence for that. Now, sir, at that time, were you on parole or anything when that happened?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, but according to what I've sort of figured out, it looks like you had, that was when the rape charge or the rape conviction had been vacated, and the record shows you were released from prison on July 21st. Of 76 from that, because that charge got vacated because the evidence was destroyed. And then this crime occurred on September 23rd of 76. So that's only like 2 months later.
They were released. I've been in prison since September 23rd, 1976.
Right. Let me check again. Maybe I have it figured out wrong. Yeah, this is showing, Ames is showing that you were committed to prison on July 17th of 75, and that would have been for the rape. And then on July 21st of 76, you were released because the sentence was vacated. So, July 21st, and then this crime occurred on September 23rd of 76, so just about 2 months later. After you've just gotten out of prison?
No, I was never out of prison.
Okay.
I've been in prison.
Were you possibly in a jail?
I went back to jail.
Okay, sir.
They told me what was going on. Well, when I left from the courthouse and came to prison, they were talking about you practice for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week or two later, a couple of days, and I've been in prison ever since. I never was released. No.
Okay, sir. All right. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Does anybody? Mr. Kenyamas has a question.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Solomon?
Yes, sir.
Did you commit a rape on September 23rd, 1976? Did you commit a rape on September
23rd, 1976?
I think so. If I wouldn't sit, this long ago. Well, I guess what I'm asking is, did you commit the rape?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. And my question is, because it seems that you were inside the Department of Corrections for a long time, I guess about 34 years, is that right?
35 years.
I'm trying to figure out why you would risk your freedom after such a long period in prison by using cocaine. Now keep in mind, we recognize that you could be violated for just drinking a beer under the conditions of release. So why would you risk your freedom to use cocaine?
Well, I got called up. My sister passed away. There was a heart attack for me. It was very hard, very painful. I ain't seen her. And I just spent like a day or two with her. Next you know, she get a brain blown out by her husband. And that drove me. It was out of my control. I couldn't do nothing. But, you know, I got in, I got into these groups, and they helped me a lot. And that's why I want to just stay away until I'm really ready to face, you know, the rest of my family. And that ain't going to be but an hour.
Thank you, Mr. Solomon. Thank you, sir.
Are you
welcome. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Solomon. Could you just tell me your ADC number again?
0-0-3-4-4-7-8.
Okay. And sir, I know you said that you were just, people say you were just too kind, you let people stay in your house, but when you got arrested for the narcotic violation, you never told your parole officer that you had any contact with the police, did you?
When I got arrested for charge I had?
Yes, sir.
No, because I had got out of jail.
Okay, so you went to jail. What name did you get arrested under?
Well, the paperwork I got in my house, they got Willie James Solomon Jr. They got about six or seven different names, but I said, it ain't the one of me. I said, and they wanted to know, who am I? I said, you know, they do fingerprints. I said, all you got to do is do my fingerprints. They have my wallet with my money, my ID, and everything.
Okay.
So I couldn't lie to them people. You know, they knew who I was. They just gave me an OR, let me go, and I went home.
Okay, so Mr. Solomon, what I'm trying to understand is that you were out for 5 years, you got arrested on this charge, you went to your parole office several times, once a month during that period of time, and you never told your parole officer about the arrest. You went to court, you pled guilty, and you got 2 years probation on that, and you never told your parole officer about the court, about contact you had with law enforcement, about being arrested. Is that right?
Right.
So how do you say that, you know, you didn't know what was going on in your house and all of this was occurring while you were on parole, and not only did you have that participation in your house, but you obviously knew exactly what was going on because you never told your parole officer, and you went 5 years deceiving your parole officer and going to court and doing all of this, And the only way that the parole officer found out is you got a new parole officer, and you applied for an absolute discharge, knowing that you had these charges, and that you had been on probation. You applied for an absolute discharge, and when you applied for the absolute discharge, that's how they found out that when the parole officer was doing some checking to see if you had any restitution to pay, that's how all of this came out. You went 5 years still not telling anybody, and you know, then you say that you were just being too nice and you didn't know what was going on, but you lived this 5 years of deceiving your parole officer. How do you explain that if you didn't know anything about it, you were deceitful to the parole officer, and the fact that to me, the fact that you knew that you had these charges, you had this contact with law enforcement, that you went 5 years acting as though you didn't, and then had the audacity to apply for an absolute discharge.
Well, I've got the particular charge about a year and a half, which means 5 years, and but I'm actually go see my PO, and he's come see me. And I thought they just running it together, so I never brought it up because I was doing everything else, working and all that.
I know the parole officer makes it clear as part of one of the conditions of your parole that you were supposed to report any contact with law enforcement to your parole officer. The fact that you were arrested and that you went to court and you had a trial, you did a plea agreement and got 2 years probation, that there's no way you could convince me that you didn't know you were supposed to bring that up to your parole officer. So if you didn't know what was going on and you were just being a nice guy, it just seemed like this, the whole thing is deceitful and one big lie to do it, and that you feel so good about being able to deceive the parole officer that you applied for an absolute discharge.
No, I wasn't lying about it. No, this is not a lie. You know, Bill was asking me about putting in for it, so I decided one day to do it. You know, one of the people that asked me, I said, yeah, I'll put in for it. You know. Same thing, they wanted me to get a marijuana card, and I told them, no, I don't want one.
So everything to you, Mr. Solomon, everything to you is always, it's the parole officer that asked you to put in for it, that's why you did it. It's the people that you let stay in your house that were doing the drugs and selling the drugs out your house. They found $1,700 plus crack cocaine inside your house, and you didn't know anything about it. Everything's about someone else, but one thing for sure, you're the person who did not give the information to your parole officer. You're the person who got arrested, did not report that to the parole officer. You're the person who pled guilty. For you to say that it was just your somebody inside your house, you pled guilty and did a plea agreement to get the 2 years off. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. All right, sir.
Yeah,
thank you.
They didn't stand up. If they didn't want to stand up and tell them people that was their stuff, it's still mine.
Okay, but you
look to the hell behind it.
So
my name was on the lease.
Okay, so your name was on the lease, but you said that the search warrant and everything was in your name. You're the person who was named on the search warrant. Is that right? When they came to the house, everything was in your name, but you insisted that you knew, had no knowledge, you knew nothing about it, and these were the people inside your apartment, and you were on parole at the time that it happened. And while you were on parole, this activity occurred inside of your house. And then, you know, you got arrested, didn't tell your parole officer, you lived a deceitful life for several years without telling your parole officer, and you went to court, you know, knew you had to go to court several times. You didn't go to court one time, you had to go to court several times. And you never reported any of this contact to your parole officer, but yet you're saying, you know, you just took the blame because none of the other people would stand up for it.
Yeah, I took the blame for everything.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Special Act, do you have any questions for Mr. Solomon?
No.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Solomon, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement if there's anything else that you've thought of that the board should consider today.
Well,
I'll do as best I can for now. I've been down these roads before, but each time it gets better in understanding life out there, and I'd rather be far away from, you know, neighborhoods that drug infested or whatever the case may be, like I was in Mesa and moved from Mesa to Phoenix. That's when all hell broke loose for me. Because we had stated I was in Mesa back again, or far away from my family members as I could get, you know, and brother live solo than to be living around a bunch of people that I once knew. Yeah, I'm trying to make life better for myself, but I'm feeling that too old for this.
Okay, Mr. Solomon, is there anything else? Did I interrupt you? Is there anything else?
No.
Okay, so the board is going to go into discussion, sir, and we just ask that you stay on the phone and just remain silent. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir, thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Solomon is an interesting individual. I have some concerns, several concerns. He does admit that he committed a rape, and I should note for the record that we have a letter from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated February 28, 2019, that describes this, and it was quite a violent rape, and he admitted he conducted it. He committed the rape. For some reason, the sentence was vacated, and I believe I read somewhere that it was the evidence had been destroyed. And he was released from that, and 2 months later is committing another crime, and as Mr. Johnson pointed out, was involved in other criminal activity while on a board-granted community supervision period. The other thing that concerns me is that he's not only not in contact with his family or any sort of support group, but really does not want anything to do with them. And he mentions that he would want to go to a halfway house, but there's no evidence of any halfway house that's accepted him. We don't have a letter. We don't have any letters of support. I just think he would have a difficult time being out there on his own and not having any support in the community. And those are just my thoughts, but I'll listen to any comments from fellow board members. Anything else? Okay, I'm going to make a motion then. And my motion is that we deny general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest from Willie Solomon. And based on the year of the crime, we cannot do a one-year set-off, so we will hear Mr. Solomon again in approximately 6 months.
Second.
Agreed.
By myself, seconded. Mr. Johnson, agreed. Dr. Wright, Mr. Quinones. Release type denied, 412A, 411, and home arrest. Reasons for denial, I'm going to say violated previous probation and parole, prior criminal history, repeat offender, most recent discipline was 2010, so I won't say recent discipline, lack of programming, there's really not a lot of programming, poor no release plan, no family community support system. And the instant offense itself is a burglary that was, he says was committed with two juveniles, so there's no injuries to people. So unless board members can think of other reasons I should check, I will leave it at that. Okay, Mr. Solomon, back to you. The board has voted to deny your parole, sir. We will see you in about 6 months because the Department of Corrections will recertify you to come back. You'll be eligible again, sir. Did you hear the reasons for the denial?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, sir. So we will see you in about 6 months and wish you the best, sir. And if you'd just lay the phone down rather than hanging it up in the phone receiver. Okay, sir? Your hearing's concluded. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. And y'all have a good day.
Thank you. You too.